Thank you. Thank you. God bless you all. And thank you for touching in a pen.
Great job, Christian, in the way of support, yeah. Jeannie, do you need some support here? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's right. God bless you, girl.
He's coming. There you go. He's not afraid of the word of God.
I need a vest.
Good morning. It's a privilege to read God's word to you this morning. I'm going to read 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers, so they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that his all-surpassing power is from God, and not from us. We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. Death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. Death is, anyway, going on. It is written, "I believed, therefore I have spoken." Since we have that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Praise God. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. May God bless the reading of his word. Thank you, Christian. You were a big help to me.
Very good. I got you. Excellent. Very good. 2 Corinthians. This 2 Corinthians letter is a little bit shorter than the first letter to the Corinthian church.
And in all actuality, may not be all the letters that Paul had written to the Corinthian church. These are the ones that are canonized. This particular letter, the second letter to Corinth, is a little bit more confusing, particularly if you don't understand the social and the religious and the economic situation within the Corinthian community. Paul had been in Corinth and helped establish the church. He is now in Ephesus, writing back to the church, giving some instructions concerning circumstances. Paul was getting attacked. He was getting attacked for his leadership. People are questioning his authority as an apostle. He's being criticized for the way he speaks. He's being challenged in the way he writes. He's being challenged in the way he expresses himself. He spends a little bit of time trying to defend himself concerning some of the comments, concerns. He does that, but then he moves on. And he really starts going towards what really matters, and that's the teachings of Jesus Christ. He stresses the importance of forgiving others, giving generously, walking as Christ walked, and the power of the Holy Spirit of God within your lives. You can find out a lot about Paul in this particular passages of Scripture in the 2 Corinthians. It kind of demonstrates Paul, reveals some things about him that you don't necessarily see in other writings from him. His human weakness, his wounded feelings, his humanity, his humility. There's a strong passion that he expresses for the weak and for the suffering. He voices that the advancement of the church and the progression for each and every one of us to have a deeper spiritual walk with the Lord. And as we each follow Jesus, dare I express the same sentiment that we each would hear from Paul and take a deeper spiritual walk with Christ, learning, living a spiritual way. In this particular passage, I didn't even get past the first word. Therefore, this is the beginning of that so passage. And so whenever you see a therefore, you have to go, what's it there for? So you ask yourself, what's it there for? And then so you have to go back to the previous chapter. And so you go back to the previous chapter in chapter 3 and the final chapter before the chapter 4, there's chapter. And it ends, that chapter starts with a therefore. So there's a therefore that goes back to the therefore. So then you have to go back even further before the other therefore to get to the other therefore to read through so that you can get through the therefore and the therefore in chapter 4 so that you can begin to understand what the therefore is there for. So in that, did you get that? So that in that passage, that's kind of the idea, right? See, Paul had a great way of trying to creating a run-on sentence and then continuing a run-on sentence and then continuing the run-on sentence. He had a thought process that would just, and then, and then, and then, and he'd make a point and then would go, that point, and then he'd make another, and he had a way of doing that. And so many times I'm just going in my own mind, how about a period here, Paul? How about a period? You know, it's like, can we... So I go back to 3. I'll read it to you. We don't have the passage up here, but I'll read it to you. It's the greater glory of the new covenant. The greater glory of the new covenant. So you back up a couple chapters to see what that therefore is there for. Now if the ministry that brought death... What was that? How did we start? Since we have this ministry. Okay. Now, if the ministry that brought death was engraved on letters of stone, what do you think that might mean? The law, right? Here comes the commandments. Here comes Moses. Here comes this great ministry that brought death, that brought condemnation, right? And if that ministry came with such glory, it came with great glory. So that the Israelites could not look steadily upon the face of Moses because of its glory, transitory though it was. If you remember, Moses came down with the tablets and he was glowing, his face was glowing, and he veiled his face. They couldn't even look at it because he was so bright. And he comes with the ministry of the law to bring to them the old covenant. Here it is. It's given to you in such glory. Transitory, temporary though it was, listen, will not the ministry of the Holy Spirit be even more glorious? If the ministry that brought condemnation, if it brought death and brought condemnation, this ministry of the law, it brought death and condemnation because it made you look at yourself and go, I can't do that. I'm dead in my sins. I'm dead in my condemnation. I cannot do this. It brought this before you to say, I need God. I need God. I repent to God. I can't do this. And if this law brought such, came with such glory, how much more than the ministry of the Holy Spirit? If the ministry that brought condemnation was glorious, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness before God? For what was glory has no glory now in comparison with a surpassing glory of what is. And if what was transitory came with glory, how much greater is the glory of that which lasts eternally? Comparing old covenant to new covenant, law to grace, condemnation to righteousness. And there's the therefore. I had to back up to the therefore and the three to get to the therefore, so back to this. This is the therefore before the other therefore. Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. We are not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to prevent the Israelites from seeing the end of what was passing away. His glory faded. This glorious thing that came faded away. But their minds were made dull. For to this day, the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed, because only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But when anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. The scales come off the eyes. Just turn to the Lord and the scales will come off your eyes and the veil will be ripped and torn away. And now the Lord is the Holy Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Freedom from condemnation, freedom from death. The ministry that came so glorious that brought condemnation, that makes you a realization of what a sinner that you are. Now has the Holy Spirit come with such forgiveness and with such love and with such righteousness to free you up. And we all who have unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory. We are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Holy Spirit of God. Some of you have been walking with the Lord for decades and decades and decades. Man, your light should shine. Chapter 4, therefore, where we started in the therefore, before I had to go back to the other before, therefore. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we have this understanding, do not lose heart. We do not have the ministry of Moses. We do not have the ministry of condemnation. We do not have the ministry of the law. We have the ministry of Jesus Christ. And as we look at these verses, we have reasons to rejoice. There's your first one. We have reasons to rejoice. We have ministries in our own, which is in our own testimony. What God has done with you, what God has done in you, and what God is doing through you. We have this ministry that we choose life. We have ministry in the way we choose to love people. We have ministry in the ways in which we administer grace and mercy, compassion and forgiveness. We are not slaves to the law. We are slaves to Christ. We have a ministry of reconciliation. If they would just turn back to God, the veils will be removed and the scales will be turned away. We have a ministry to represent Jesus Christ. Some people represent well. Some, not so much. We have churches that represent well, and we have some, not so much. So as I look out here, I'm just going to ask the question, are there any people here? I'm a people. There's some people here. There's some good people here. All right. Do you consider yourself a person? There are people. Kind of maybe, I don't know, like every other person, unique like everybody else. You're kind of a person. You're just a people. You're fairly common, kind of like everyone else. You work, you play, you eat, you sleep, right? Maybe you work at something different, but work. People work. People play. Maybe you play at different things. Some people like golf. Some people like basketball. Some people like video game, but we play a lot. Eat. Everybody eats. Everybody eats. It sounds like people are in the room, so we're common in that regard. We're all going to eat. Maybe we choose tacos or steaks or potato chips, whatever, but we eat. And then we sleep. Anybody not sleep in the last week? Okay, so boy, we have a lot in common already. We sleep, right? Yeah. Everybody poops. It was a bestseller. I'm just saying, it was a bestseller. What does a common life look like? What do people look like? It's people. People on one side of the planet and the people on the other side of the planet are still people. Trying to raise kids and trying to feed them and trying to play and trying to work and trying to sleep. It's people. You know what else looks like common within people? Opinions. Opinions are pretty common amongst all people. You know what else is? Anxiety, worry, stress, anger, anxiousness, fear, nervous about the future. Doesn't matter who the president is. We all got issues. We all got people issues. People problems. We got problems. We got circumstances. We got situations. We got money issues and health issues. I like ice cream way too much for my own good. Human life has a lot of common factors and elements within it. We cannot escape being human. Jesus came that we might know a better way of living, a better way of being a human. He came to give us a better ministry than the ministry of condemnation and death. That our lives would be a living testimony. And since we have this ministry, since we have this understanding, we have a high hope. And in those high hopes, we're very bold. We can be bold in our walk. We can be bold in our talk. We can be bold in our worship and our prayer and our praise. Don't just sing. Sing loud, even if it's wrong. Be bold even in your meditation. Be bold in your presence of where you are, and who you are, and the identity of who you are. And be bold even in your silence. Each of us are involved in this ministry in some form or another. You don't escape it as long as you're people receiving and giving We have reasons to rejoice. The veil has been torn. Our eyes have been opened. The light is shining upon us and through us. And therefore, since we have this great mercy from God, go and serve. Therefore, since God's mercy is upon us, go and serve. What are you there for? What are you here for? What are you to do, therefore? Share the good news of what he's done for you. The old is fading away and the new is illuminating. The old tarnished way of life is fading away and the new is brightly shining. I know what I was. I'm not that anymore. I know where I've been. I'm not going back. I know what it is to be tied to the law of do this and do that, do right and earn it. But I've been set free. I've been set free by Jesus Christ. He done set a fire down my soul that I cannot extinguish. The Holy Spirit will continue to work in each and every one of us and shaping us and molding us and transforming us. We have this tremendous ministry taking place within our hearts. Do not lose heart. We have reasons to rejoice, reasons to celebrate. We rejoice at the work of Jesus Christ for our forgiveness. We rejoice at God's great mercy. We rejoice in that we can draw another breath. Everybody inhale. By the grace of God. We rejoice at how patient God is. At least I rejoice at how patient God is with me. We rejoice that he has ultimate control. He is a sovereign God. We rejoice that the old is fading away and the new is coming and illuminating our lives. But even in the midst of having reasons to rejoice, there will be obstacles to overcome. There will be obstacles to overcome. That's your next one. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what you're going through. But I know that you will be victorious in Jesus Christ. Even though we are plain, common people, we're just people, human beings, we have an uncommon knowledge that surpasses anything that this world can throw at us. We have been given great insight into a majestic God. You have an awareness of a higher power that he has gifted himself to you. Here's your next slide. You have been given spiritual knowledge that others only guess at. I know you might think that you're kind of common and that you're fairly normal, average and ordinary, like for the most part you are. You're just a people. You bleed and you breathe, right? But there's something within you that changes everything about you. Maybe I should say it this way. There is someone within you that changes everything about you. Paul writes, for we preach not ourselves. We preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ is Lord, and ourselves as servants to Jesus. For God said, it was God who said, let light shine out of the darkness. You can follow that all the way back to Genesis in the very beginning. And he looks at you and says, let light shine out of darkness. Let the light shine out of the darkness. God made his light shine in our hearts to give us light into the knowledge of God's glory. You have knowledge of God's glory. You have been gifted with the Holy Spirit of God. You have been privileged. The veils have been removed. God did that. I was blind, but now I see. Thank God, thank God, thank God. I was blind, but now I see. Thank God, thank God, thank God. I was blind, blinded with scales and veils and misunderstandings and miscommunications and misconceptions. I was blind, but now I see. Thank God, thank God, thank God. How about you? How about you? My heart was dark, now it's full of light. My heart was dark. I was in a pit, in the mire, and in the mud. And the Lord chose to shine his light upon me and pick me up out of the squire, out of the mess, and straighten me out. Thank God he had patience with me along the way. I praise you, God. The uncommon knowledge that he has presented you with leads you to an uncommon awareness. It leads you to an uncommon awareness, an awareness that God is who he says he is, and that God has you. He has not forsaken you. He has not left you abandoned. He has not walked away from you. He holds you close, and he loves you. God will get you through any struggle that you're going through. Why? Jesus himself knows the struggle. God himself knows the hurt. God himself knows the pain. He knows the betrayal. He knows the injustice. He knows the injuries. He knows the insults. He knows the abuses. He knows all the obstacles that confront and confound you. Hard pressed, not crushed, baby, not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, maybe, but not abandoned. Struck down, but I am not destroyed. He that is in me is greater than he that is in this world. And he ministers into our very hearts. He's still at work within me. He's still at work within you. He's still at work within us. I'm a plain kind of a clay jar. I'm just kind of a, my humanness, I'm just plain, fairly simple, an empty clay jar, a shell of a man, a simple vessel in a container. I resolve to know nothing while I'm with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified and all he's done for me. And I know this truth. Here's your next slide. God didn't create me to be a decoration, but to contain something valuable. There is within each and every one of us this precious power. It is not I that live, but Christ in me. Christ lives in me like a treasure in a jar, like a jewel in a clay pot, a pearl residing in an oyster. You do not need a worldly definition of beauty on the outside. What you need is a heavenly definition of beauty on the inside. And if you're filled with the Holy Spirit of God, you cannot get any more glorious. You cannot get any more saved. God sees you redeemed and righteous, an amazing creation by the works of his very own hands. Blood bought and secure in Christ. Now, work out your salvation. Go let your light shine. Do the things that he's asking of you to do. Let him change you. Let him challenge you. Let him mold you. You can overcome any obstacle. You can overcome any sin, any shame, any guilt, any hardship, any persecution. I can say this with all honesty. I'm honored to call my wife my best friend. And the most beautiful, I can't even look at her right now. The most beautiful I've ever seen her is when she's glowing with praise and worship. It's breathtaking to me. I've never seen her more gorgeous and more beautiful. It's like she's glowing. I can't describe it. There's something within her. They're shining bright. It's like we say to pregnant women sometimes, right? There's you're glowing. You're glowing. Yeah, there's something living in you. You're glowing. The Holy Spirit, someone's living in you. You're glowing brightly. The congregation spiritually shines when God is exalted, when his people praise him, when his people love him, when his people worship and pray together. You never shine so brightly as when you testify about his good works. You never shine so brightly as when you're encouraging others. You just dog them. You just pray for them. You just love them. I know they're in a bad mood, but you love them anyway. I know they got bad breath. You love them anyway. I know they didn't dress right. You love them anyway. I know that they're not in the right situation. You love them anyway. I know that they've been doing drugs. You love them anyway. I know they get drunk. You love them anyway. You never look so good as when you love with the love of Christ. You've never looked so glorious when you're able to love the unlovable, comfort the rejected, comfort the downtrodden, and those that have been shunned and turned away. You have never been more Christ-like as a fellowship when you pray for others and you're forgiven when you love. This is something the blinded, veiled world does not understand or get. They cannot see it, nor do they understand it. The power of your prayer for someone. You look different to a dark world. You sound different to a dark world. You act different to a dark world. And what is so intellectually frustrating to the most learned of scholars is that God delights in using imperfect vessels to contain himself. I don't get it. I don't understand it. Why he would choose you to be a demonstration to the world of God's glory? Why would he choose you to be a demonstration of God's glory to a dark world? Why he would choose you to be a demonstration of God's glory to the dark world? I know you. I know me. That's baffling. But he's your creator. He's your heavenly Father. He loves you. He cares for you. And he draws you in. And why? All this is for your benefit. What? All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. He chooses you. He chooses you that you might be the glory of God to a world that does not know him. If you only look at my clothes, you might miss the brightness. If you only look at a moment or a snapshot, take a picture of my lifetime in the scheme of 50 some odd years, you might miss the brightness. If you just look at my behavior sometimes, if you just look at my reactions and responses to circumstances and situations, you might miss the brightness that's deep within my soul. But if you look a little bit deeper, you're going to see a pearl. If you look a little bit deeper, you might see that there's this treasure in this jar of clay that is desperate to shine, that desires to shine, that wants to love the world as Christ loves the world, a light that is desperate to get out. You see a life that I long to live. Paul knew what it was to feel all the struggles, all the obstacles, all the rejections, all the insults, all the abuses. Peter knows what it was to fall away. Thomas knew what it was to doubt. Stephen knew what it meant to be killed for that belief. We carry this precious message around in us in pretty plain jars of clay. Ordinary lives, people, just ordinary people, that God says, you are mine and I am yours. You are in Christ. Shine. I had grown to kind of understand this very true but simple fact. I think it is anyway. I'll let you read it for yourself. It's your next slide. Do not lose heart. There is no one perfect. Do not lose heart. Even though outwardly we are wasting away, inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Our light and momentary troubles, whatever you're going through, your light and momentary troubles are achieving for you an eternal glory that far outweighs any of those troubles. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen, your temporary problems, temporary. What is unseen is eternal. So here's your last one. We have these realities that we need to reinforce. It takes the Holy Spirit of God to be able to walk around this common world and just not want to give up. Anybody else? The things we have seen, the experiences we have endured, the tragedies and the chaos and the death, evil persists. Evil persists. To see the world as it is and believe that there has got to be a better way. To glean the eyes of Christ and be able to walk in peace when there's chaos all around you. To glean the eyes of Christ and be able to walk with a calmness when there's disturbances all around you. To glean the heart and the eyes of Christ to be able to walk confidently and boldly and steady when everything else is shaky and questioning. The power you possess to see this world is uncommon. To not get caught up in all the anxiety and the stresses and the troubles of this world because you are a child of the kingdom of God. The world is condemned. The world is wasting away. Evil exists and it has infiltrated the dominion of this age, but it will all come to pass. It all comes to nothing because Christ will descend and return. And should he tarry, you will die. Another thing that's kind of people. That knowledge and that power gives you a tremendous advantage to those that walk around with veiled eyes. They cannot see what you see. They cannot know what you know, nor do they believe what you believe. And with that power that you possess comes great responsibility. Comes a great obligation, the power to change yourself and the power to change the world as God desires and designed. I love this line. I'm so glad the Lord gave it to me. You can be angry at this world, or you can love it to death like Jesus did. God is at work to redeem. God is at work to reconcile back to himself. God is at work to restore back to himself. Therefore, will you work with him? Here's your last one. Are you offering the world what the Lord has given you? The realities of the believer are very different than the unbeliever. We offer a glimpse of hope and peace for the soul. But I can tell you this for certain, beyond any question of a doubt. You cannot give away what you don't have. If God has given you and filled you with grace, give me an amen. If God has filled you with his mercy, give me an amen. If you've received forgiveness from God, give me an amen. If you received love from God, give me an amen. Now go and give it away to the glory of God. Let me pray with you. Father, indeed, I thank you so very much for the opportunity to be here in this place. Father, I thank you for the songs we sing and the praise we offer. I thank you for the way in which you minister into our very hearts. And Father, I would pray that you would challenge us and mold us today to be the people that you desire us to be. The people filled with your light, with your love. Father, encourage us. Challenge us, change us. Father, may we be different because we were here today. Enlighten our hearts and our souls. We come before you with thanksgiving, with praise, and with adoration. In the name of your Son, amen. God bless you guys.